listening to the Flash J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Stay Radio Network, Sirius XM, channel 141, sports talk and entertainment excellence. I got my guys, Smirk TV and Lino 615, two of the hottest comedians in Nashville, in the booth with me today. So we're going to get into it, because if you followed this show from terrestrial radio when we were syndicated all over the country, we were in Seattle and Atlanta and D.C., and you followed in Phoenix and Philly, and you followed us now to Sirius XM, this new platform, which I'm working on HR voices so that we can swear. They don't allow swearing on the platform. I want to be able to swear at some point, and to most importantly, not constrict my guest into having to censor themselves. You guys do a good job. Back in the day, Smirk used to come in and I had to bleep out a third of what he was saying. A lot of times we would be broadcasting, and I'm glad that I didn't have Smirk on when I was on ESPN Live and on NBC Live, because I would have lost my license. Like, they would hit me with the FCC. But over the years, I would give Smirk credit. He has gotten much better. He knows what to say, when to say it. He knows, like, the last time he was about to go into an Adam Sandler bit, which I looked up by the record, he was about to go into an Adam Sandler bit. And he just stopped himself. He's just like, why don't you just Google it? He's like, I'm not going to say it, because I don't want to get you in trouble with your new serious XM family. So I really greatly appreciate that. But we always do improv, and great comedians like Smirk TV, Lino 615, they do improv. That's what they do. Like Lino says, he doesn't write any notes. I've seen these guys perform. They don't have written stuff on the back of their hand. They're not like Eminem, like riding the bus around town on 8 Mile, practicing how to rhyme the word orange with something. Like, that's not what they do. They get out. No. They spend the first 2 minutes surveilling the crowd, and you know, they kind of find someone in the crowd that's their Huckleberry, and then they go into their material. Some of it is about relationships. Some of it's about what's going on in the world, but they're very consistent, and I think we rock, because you guys can verify, I don't do the show with notes. Yeah. I don't have all of these readouts and stuff that I do. Yeah. That's off the top of the dome. So I've never done the show with notes. I don't believe in that. I think it actually constricts you.
Yeah,
I think
a natural flow.
Either you got it or you don't. That's what somebody told me early when I got into this game. Either you got it or you don't. If you got to write down, people come on my show, it's funny. People will come on the show and they'll have like 9 bullet points. Like they're fumbling through a sheet of paper. I'm just like, this isn't a presidential speech. Like, it's just, if you make a mistake, we all make mistakes. No big deal. But you guys know what I'm going to ask you to improv about. I don't have to tell you. You know that it's going to be politically driven.
Let's see.
There was a crazy debate.
I know that you guys don't care about politics in general, that you're not pressed about that.
Couldn't give a crap.
But anyone that hasn't been living under the rock, just the circus it's become.
You got to be involved in that.
I don't want my sponsors to pull out, so I'm not going to say my real opinions. But I'm watching TV. Somebody's shooting at former President Trump, which I'm glad that he didn't get killed.
Right.
I do have some questions. I own an AR-15, and what a .223 caliber bullet would do to someone's ear, it seems like it would do more damage, because I own an AR-13.
It would have took it off.
And I own an AK-47 Draco as well, so I know what those high chamber rounds, but I don't want to get into that,
because
I need to have sponsors, and I need to continue to have a show.
We just shoot targets.
But the thought that someone... I have been to presidential rallies. You can't even sneeze within 2 miles of that. So the thought that someone could just climb up on the roof, and people are like, yo, this dude's climbing up on the roof, it just seems odd. Something is askew, and I'll just leave it.
Well, the roofs were sloped, Lynch, for goodness sakes.
Something is askew. God. And then, so that is part of the TV show. And then we get to the next week. Biden just pulls out. We've all been saying that Biden didn't know where he was, who he was, how he was. I think Smirk said on the show when Biden was running for president that Kamala's job was to feed him applesauce and to make sure that he was in bed by 7:30.
So I don't know. I don't have any recollection.
And this is back in 2020. So
yeah.
The TV show is just crazy. Whatever you believe, I don't tell people on this show what to believe politically or what to think. That's none of my business. You vote for whoever you want to vote for. You do whatever you want to do. I'm not smart enough to tell you what to do. Right. But just something just seems odd. So what I want to do is I do want to bring a moment of levity to the situation. I definitely don't want to disparage former President Trump that he was shot at. I don't want to get into that. But I want to be the scheduling. One of you is going to be Kamala's, you know, handler or chief of staff. The other is going to be Trump's chief of staff. You're trying to discuss a debate because they have to debate. So it's just funny. Overnight, Trump was banging on Biden for being old and, you know, not knowing who he was or where he was and Dementia Joe and Let's Go Brandon and all of that stuff. And then the Democrats flipped that overnight. Now Trump's the old guy. Trump's the guy that, you know, seems kind of old and out of touch. I want the two of you, you pick whatever side, but you're trying to schedule a debate for the national, after the Democratic National Convention in a couple of weeks, you're trying to schedule a debate.
So we try. I want it so bad for one of us to be Joe, one of us to be Trump, so bad. But
you want to flip that? That's fine. That's where we pivot. So you want to?
I
do
just feel like it'd be more entertaining.
The final,
like
the final Joe Biden versus Trump conversation.
Yeah,
So we will change that. So we change things
like him calling Trump and telling him I'm dropping.
We
like,
change things on the Lance Day Radio Network. We're willing to pivot. So I want to do. We will do that at your request.
Okay.
This is the call. When Joe Biden calls former President Trump, so President Biden calling Trump to say that, hey, I'm dropping out, you're going to have to deal with Kamala. Whoever's who, it doesn't matter to me.
I'll be Biden.
You'll be Biden?
Yeah.
All right, so you're calling me.
No.
Yep. All right.
All right, let me. We starting.
Yeah,
right?
Biden has to call because he's the one conceding, so he's the one dropping out.
Okay, hold on. I'm calling.
I'm calling.
Is it ringing or no? It's ringing.
Hello? Hello?
Hello. This is Joe. I was
Good Lord, Joseph.
I was calling to let you know.
Spit it out,
that,
Joseph.
See, this is why I'm telling you.
Joe, I've got to be honest. You sound drunk.
And incoherent.
And
I'm trying to tell you that this is the reason why I need to I need to drop out of the Olympics because
the Olympics.
When I fell down,
Joe, stop! I'm going to stop you
in
right
1942,
there.
1942,
Joe.
I had hairy legs.
Are you dropping out of the race, Joe?
Out of the Olympic race, I do believe I need to drop out because in 19.
I'm going to be honest. You sound dumb.
In 1942, and I scraped my knee, and it.
In 1942, my father gave me a small loan of $1 million, Joe, and that's what separates us. I'm a real American pioneer. What do you do? What have you done for this country, Joseph?
I've actually done a lot.
Joe, it's 6 p.m. Shouldn't you be in bed?
I was talking to Barack Obama. And he told me that I need to be the bigger person here.
Joe Barack's old news.
Because
I'm big news. I'm the biggest.
Bigly.
I went to the Olympics and I talked to other athletes.
Joe, you sound like a stupid dog.
And you sound
like a dumb stupid dog.
And I think pedigree.
And someone should take your belt back.
Pedigree is
like my favorite movie, Old Yeller.
Pedigree works good for the dogs in the
backyard. Someone hang this up. Siri, hang up on Sleepy Joe. Siri, hang up on Sleepy Joe.
I told him I wasn't coming to the Olympics.
Tell him to take his Flintstone vitamins and shut up.
What are your thoughts, President Biden, about moving towards Kamala Harris?
I think that Kamala will be a great school teacher for the kids at the school. And California.
If Kamala was on my team, the only person she'd be running from is me at 3 a.m. off of a Blue Chew.
See, he doesn't even just he doesn't let me respect her or the kids in the democracy.
Joe, you smell little girls.
And I see.
You literally sniff children.
I honor the kids because they are the.
But you didn't honor America, Joe.
Hey, will you just let me answer a question about the teacher?
That's the most personality I've seen from him in four years. I'm going to butt in. I'm going to say that your impersonation of an elderly man is really good. So that's good. That's pretty good. You know?
Yeah, I've watched.
This is a little bit disrespectful and irreverent, but the reason that I ask you guys to do this, it's important because it's not a political show, but it's important for people to understand that this is the perception of what we have out there. You guys are much younger than me. What is your honest perception of just a circus? I don't care about your politics and who you're going to vote for, but just what's your perception of just all of this political theater?
Oh, we're doomed.
We're so screwed.
We're so screwed. Like, that's why people be like, I don't want to talk about it. You can talk about
it. See, I don't usually talk to guys that are in their late 20s, the early 30s that are doomed. You don't hear that. You guys are too young to be jaded like that.
Now, listen, old people talk.
Who we've lived through, as the last two at least.
Look, we got the Celebrity Apprentice host versus Captain Dementia. This is Captain Dementia. Yeah. And then Kamala, who's skipping around talking about the wheels on the bus go round and round. I mean, that's some stuff the Joker says. Literally. Yeah.
What among your friends? I'm taking you out of the comedy lens. So if you're just tuning in, this is my guy's Smirk TV. Lino 615, just when you're at the dinner table with your friends, your family, the people you kick it with, people that you're dating, your relationships, marriage, whatever you have going on, what is the thought of your generation? Because my generation is in a different space. I just turned 46. I'm at that space where I'm like halfway through my career. So quite frankly, I'm focused on my 401k and all of that stuff. So I don't even have time to get in all of this political drama. I just want to make sure I have enough money to retire and that me and my wife can pay our mortgage. Yeah. You guys are coming up in the game, really working towards superstardom. What do people in your age group really think about all of this?
Again, you're lucky you got this contract because we're effed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But I feel like it's either one side of the same coin. It's either you got the kids kind of more like us, where we just kind of pretend like it's not even happening. This is one big reality show, and we're just going to do. And then on the other side of the coin, you got kids even younger than us, some of them, who are wearing Trump's tennis shoes and we're in line for the – like they're like really into it or, you know. Yeah. It's crazy. You see these kids on TikTok that are like 21.
I actually thought that his gold tennis shoes was kind of hot, man. I know the culture doesn't love Trump.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
If those shoes had a Jordan logo on it, people would be sold out.
Yeah, they probably are sold out now. Yeah. But
now I saw a pair of shoes that had him shaking his fist after the assassination attempt. I didn't know if that was a parody or
someone down the street made them at a vendor.
Real. Yeah, we getting into. This area in Nashville is really Trump country here. I'm afraid to go down to the Capitol.
It's going down. There's a lot of crazy stuff. And you know, he's here now.
He's in town.
He's campaigning in town. Okay.
Yeah.
He said
we're going to bring January 6th to Nashville.
I think that people, to be honest with you, and we got to get to a break, but I think that people are really fed up with the foolishness. I just want to get up and go to work and have a family.
I don't think we need a president. I think we need to chill for like a year and a half.
Let's lead by committee.
Yeah, I mean, everybody else has.
I feel like we haven't really had one at least the last 2 years. We're kind of freelancing.
Everybody's kind of self-governed.
Let's just take it back to like the 90s for 2 years. Right. Let's just take it back to low gas mileage. Food was cheaper.
Man.
Rent was cheaper. Let's
put John Stamos back on TV and call it even.
Now, I don't know about John Stamos, but how does that impact you? Because I think inflation is, and like I said, you guys bring levity to the conversation, but we're all dealing with real issues. We're all men. We're all dealing with issues. Gas, milk. Just buying food,
say,
groceries.
Inflation and having
you have
kids,
a, you have children,
have
like right, exactly.
It's the
how
word.
Does that how does that hit you?
So
especially
you remember
as,
when they were like, it's cheaper to go grocery shopping than go out to eat. Right. Now it don't even matter.
Right.
Like sometimes it's cheaper to go out to eat.
But how does that impact your interest in politics? Does that make you care?
I mean,
like are you going to vote for whoever? If someone's running for president and they said if I become president of the United States, gas will be back down $1 $1.50
But
a
will
gallon
it be?
I'd be like, okay, so gas will be down to $1.50 What are we losing from that to make it go down to $1.50 What you gonna do? Make eggs $10
Now bread $18 Yeah,
yeah. It's like, nah, man. We got at this point, you know, it's trade off somewhere in here.
I agree. I think people are frustrated, and I appreciate Smirk and Lino coming in and being so gracious to discuss it. What we're going to do is we're going to cut to another break. We'll be back with more Lanche Day Radio Network, talk a little bit of sports.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lanche Day Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
Classic sneakers I had, Patrick Ewing's.
Oh, the Ewing's, Abdugia, the Ewing's was hot.
The blue, orange, and white. Got those. Got a fresh pair.
You
got
to bring those into the studio.
And I got the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Adidas.
I didn't even know that he had a shoe.
What? And I got the Stan Smiths. I'm telling you, these
ones. I don't even know what a Stan Smith is.
The Stan Smith, the green and whites, the official color. I got the official Pumas, the red suede, the blue suede. Official Pumas. Classic.
So, we're writing it down.
Hold up. The first Air Force Ones. The Dunks. The Flights. What else was crazy? The Hibachis.
James Lewis.
You talking about the Hirachis or the Hibachis?
I call them Hibachis, Hirachis, whatever.
You are listening to the Lanche J Radio Network.
Do you need to lose a significant amount of weight? Are you fighting a serious chronic condition like hypertension or diabetes? This is Lance J here for Dr. Fabian Garcia at MedHealth Clinical Solutions. Although based in Orlando, Florida, Dr. Garcia is now working with patients all over the country via telehealth. Dr. G is a student of both autophagy and intermittent fasting. His wellness coaching helped me to go from 270 pounds down to a slim 205. That's a size 32 waist from a 40. Call 321-989-6887 or go to medhealthclinic.com to engage with their staff and book an appointment. Trust me, your body will thank you.
Hip-hop has been a reflection of culture and society.
That includes stories of struggle
and pain,
social injustice,
racial inequality,
the marginalization of communities.
Today,
we confront a healthcare system
that has been rigged against all of us.
Hospitals force patients to sign contracts for services
without ever showing us actual prices.
Stifling competition,
overcharging without accountability.
And if we can't pay, these same contracts
allow them to take everything we own,
creating so much fear that millions and millions of Americans refuse to enter a hospital,
putting our health and our lives at stake.
This is an American humanitarian crisis.
We love our nurses.
And we need our doctors.
But hospitals and insurers
rigging a system to make profits off of people that's in struggle is unforgivable.
We demand prices
and transparency in healthcare.
How? To the patients.